Let me read you something.
A man who had for a time become the embodiment of a popular ideal is made to realize that as a person, he is not this ideal. The keynote, the need to deal with human beings as persons rather than as screens upon which projects one's dream and ideal. The need to deal with the human beings as persons rather than as screens upon which one projects one's dream and ideal. A man who had for a time become the embodiment of a popular ideal is made to realize that as a person, he is not this ideal. What does that mean to you, Daryl?
He still has to be himself, not what other people want him to be. Because that embodiment word, I sit there and I think about maybe you're being something, you're not being true to yourself.
Ooh. So,
Peer pressure, or you're thrust in a position of power or authority, you're not really prepared for that. You're sort of thrown in to that, and you have to be live up to other people's ideals or morals or expectations, and you sort of compromise your own integrity by having to appease others. You gotta be true to yourself at the end of the day, and if people get offended or hurt by that, that's on them, because you're not going to make everybody happy. They need to know to walk away. They should know to walk away. And instead of trying to badger you or lecture you about doing something their way, because that makes them happy. Or that's the way they know it, or the way they think it should be.
It says, We have a final statement on the relationship between mental, spiritual, and vision and living reality between persons and the ideal they appear to incarnate, between the great lover image and the one's need for love, a love his presence stimulated and aroused. The star on the movie screen is not the actual person. The star's popularity fades away. The person remains. What has this episode of popularity actually done to the person? This is a question that can be applied to a great variety of circumstances. The second sequence brings to our attention an issue that is basic and may confront us in various forms. Person versus archetype. This can mean a critical need for self reevaluation. I find that interesting because of a word you use. And it starts with self, but it doesn't. The second word is not an R; it's an I.
Introspection.
No, that ain't the word I was thinking of. You use. Well, I heard you use it to a couple of people. You told Walter.
Oh, individuation.
Yeah. Individuation. For individuation to take place, does self-evaluation have to take place?
Without a doubt. And I told her that too. Yep.
The thing that I'm speaking about right now, the thing that we are currently speaking about happens to be the Saban symbol in which this new moon on Wednesday is about, in a way.
That's going to be a Pisces moon, I think, on Wednesday.
No, Aquarius.
Aquarius. A Pisces moon is going to be Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, so this is Aquarius moon at 9 degrees Aquarius, new moon.
Yeah, Aquarius on Wednesday, Thursday.
And if you think about it, Aquarius is about uniqueness, you know, detachment. Do you have to detach to be unique?
Yeah, because you're not going with the norm. That way you remove any kind of pressure exerted from external forces to be some sort of way or go with the flow. Yeah, I think you do.
Mm. So, I got another question for you. What does the Five of Swords say to you? What's the Five of Swords about? Five of Swords.
Defeat comes to mind.
Defeat.
With the Five of Swords.
Yeah.
But defeat, like failure.
Hmm.
Not meeting expectations, falling short.
Hmm.
You doing reverse reading on that, there, Terry?
What's the Five of Swords? All right. So this is the Five of Swords. We got a guy with three swords in his hand. He got two swords. There's two swords on the ground. He got two people in the background with their back turned. All right. So with this being a swords is about air, and air has to do with communication. Why am I bringing up the Five of Swords? Because this new moon has something to do with the Five of Swords. Upright or reverse. That's why I asked you that question. All right? This says here, Five of Swords. Lack of sensitivity. Interested only in self. The reverse, if there is no change in attitude, loss can be incurred. How would you marry this Five of Swords here, Tarot, with what I read about self reevaluation?
I look at those swords in there, slaying those demons.
Could that be people in the past using air as swords to cut and slice and dice? Air is connected with communication, and air is connected to relationships as well.
Yeah, and actually swords represents communication.
So that's...
And thinking. So they go... that coincide with one another. Complementary. Yeah. That's what I was thinking when you said that. I'm like, well, actually, swords is about communication. And then with that air as well. So, but you're still doing that, you know, internal, well, I said introspective analysis, but that individuation is self-reflection. A lot of times when we talk about doing shadow work, when people talk about that, and you've spoke about that, going through your life, you're one of the few that I've heard, spoken to a couple thousand people, that have went through, how many people have really gone through their life? I've had Taz spoke about a few things, but you know, that will time to go through all that. When you talk about that individuation, I go to that reflection and that self-analysis. And when that Five of Swords, when you're marrying that together, as you were saying, how do we marry that together with that embodiment that you were speaking about?
Being an embodiment of the actor on the stage?
Yeah. See, that's a thespian, T-H-E-S-P-I-A-N, or an actor. When you get into acting, being actor, actress, you open, I know you're that actor, but you, the brilliance of things with theater and acting is you open yourself up to think outside of the box and open your mind up to maybe you're representing a time period, you know, like if you were to represent MLK or Malcolm X or something, you know, and portray that person, you would do all this research and analysis on him and things that he went to or subjected with, or even B.B. King, you know, stuff like that.
Being a
blues player and how it was frowned upon with the music and everything and not being allowed in certain bars. And, you know, there's so many, the beauty of it is that it opens up your mind. To stop being so truncated, which is like compartmentalized in your little bubble. That's the nice of it. And yeah, you're that embodiment of that actor. But then to me, and I've watched a lot of interviews actually with actors, Denzel, who I really admire, Morgan Freeman, two on top of my head, Robin Williams. There's some real iconic ones. And when you go back and you watch these interviews with these guys, they talk about, you know, when they're getting done with that movie or that play, because a lot of those guys did theater and stuff too, but when they're done with that production, they take part of that actor and incorporate into themselves, because it's actually them portraying that individual. So they take characteristics that they've picked up on or learned, and they're able to incorporate that into their own life, which is, man, talk about self-evolvement. To me, that's phenomenal. To get a gift like that, and it's sort of detaching, like you said about detaching, with that individuation, even though they were that actor, they were portraying that, it still opened up their mind to different ideas or perspectives that someone was subjected to, and then how to present themselves, and it really is a deeper understanding of yourself, in my opinion. At the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's a pretty deep question that you asked.
Well, I was thinking about Heath Ledger, and they say how him stepping into the role of the Joker kind of sent him off the deep end.
Unfortunately, you know, died at the age of 27, you know, part of the 27 Club, the infamous 27 Club, he said. But yeah, why did they say that did? Wasn't there stuff with drugs and alcohol with him?
I know, they said some of these, I was just listening to a video. They were saying like these method actors that, the people who like they, when they become the role, they just stay in that role until the movie's over with.
Yes. Yes. They totally embrace it.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes you can get lost in that energy.
Without a doubt. So true. All
right. So, yeah. You know what else I find out? You know what else? Well, if we go to this, to build on that, you know, I guess I should... What's Aquarius? What's Aquarius energy about? Because this new moon is in Aquarius. All right. So Aquarius is air. It's fixed air, stubborn air. All right. It's the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. And Aquarius is original. All right. What's some Aquarius keywords? Because astrology is all about keywords, and a lot of this stuff is about keywords. But keywords is actually action, people doing shit. These keywords are attached to action.
Well, there's a couple that come to mind with Aquarius.
Which is?
Innovative.
Yep.
Intellectual.
Yep.
Humanitarian.
Wait, hold up. I want to stop right there. Because a lot of times when you see Aquarius and you read Aquarius stuff, you will see genius energy. Genius. Aquarius is the genius. The reason I'm stopping right there is because Aquarius can be the genius, but it's not given to you. Y'all got to work at that shit, Aquarius. So, what else you got? Hey, because you know Aquarius off the top, they automatically think they know.
See, I know. Moniker.
Exactly. That's why they're saying, I know.
Mm-hmm. Another thing with Aquarius is, innovative, intellectual would be another one. Another eye that comes to mind with them is independent.
Mm.
A lot of them, there's independence with them. Freedom, you know, independence, freedom. They're synonymous, though. You know, they're synonyms, but that's just another thing that comes to mind. The humanitarian. That's another thing.
Progressive.
Progressive.
Freedom loving.
Yeah.
Eccentric. Scientific.
Yes. The doctor I know, she's an Aquarius.
All right.
With this incredible, deep, scientific mind. It's interesting. You say, yeah.
But
the embodiment of science with my...
But that's all the positives. You know, Aquarius does have a dark side, like rebelliousness. They could be very fanatical, undisciplined. Aquarius is a Saturn rule sign, so Saturn has to do with discipline and all that. Aquarius can be defiant. Did I say erratic? Unpredictable. Right. So let's throw that these keywords into this new moon energy. New moon's about planting the seed. One, setting an intention on doing something differently. All right. And so this applies to your Aquarius area. Where is Aquarius in your chart? There's something else I find interesting about this new moon. The day before this new moon. The day before this new moon, Mercury has a conjunction with Pluto. Mercury, our thoughts, how we think and communicate, is meeting up with the planet of death and transformation, death and regeneration. So, any thoughts, Tara, on your mind meeting transformation the day before this new moon of self-reevaluation and all of that in Aquarius? Any thoughts?
To me, it'd be an opportunity to produce thought into action.
Ooh. Would that be the energy of letting your words match your actions?
At a minimum, matching, if not surpassing.
Do you think people struggle with words matching action?
They sure do.
Why do you think that's the case?
I refer to that as empty rhetoric with all talk, no action. People like to derive purpose through thought, but then they fail to execute on their plan and bring it to fruition. Live in the memory of it instead of the reality of it with actualizing it.
I find that interesting what you said, because if I circle back to the Sabian symbol, what was it talking about? Being the actor on the stage? Taking on ideals? And if I think about it, how many roles are we handed at birth that we are expected to take on? And people try to hold us to these roles and these ideals. Self-reevaluation. The ideals in which you are connected to. Are those your ideals or someone else's? And if they are someone else's, do they resonate with you or not? Do you think some people's unhappiness or bad feelings could be connected to them trying to hold themselves to ideals that don't resonate with them?
I agree with that assessment, and I feel that it falls back to the parents, the family that you're born into, and a lot of parents try to live vicariously through their children with things that they didn't do or they feel should be done.
Ooh, now I brought it back down, back to the full circle with the saving symbol. Now you just brought it back full circle to the Five of Swords. Is this the individual dealing with their parents and the ideals? Is there some swords or ideals that you were handed to that you need to put down?
You know, maybe those two people in the background are the parents.
Yeah, that's what I just said. Ooh.
With your own situation, not holding yourself to their ideals or expectations, but more setting your own path, carving your own path with those swords. I think of swords and cutting, as you said earlier, could be carving as well. Severing, there's another word. You're severing yourself from the ideals affiliated with the environment that you were born into or brought up in. Eventually you have to set out on your own.
Eventually.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. Eventually. You set out on your own to be your own person.
You know what you just said, I find interesting about this, and you said setting out on your own and all that, because the ninth degree falls in the bounds of Venus. And Venus is about what we love, what you value, what you think is beautiful, what you're attracted to and what you attract. Now, could you be attracting the wrong thing because of the Five of Swords being in reverse?
just existing. You're not living.
Because this is in reverse. There's no change in attitude. Loss can be incurred. So would changing of attitude be walking away from ideals to, and self-reevaluation so you can do what you say, self-individuation.
Individuation, huh?
What is self-individuation to you? Internal freedom.
Your mind can be a very dangerous weapon. And it can actually confine you. There's something I say to people that really resonates with them. That I feel might tie into this.
All right.
You're a product of the past. But you don't have to be a prisoner of the past.
You're a product of the past, but you don't have to be a prisoner of the past.
Correct.
You know how I talked about Mercury meeting up with Pluto?
Yes. Yep.
Well,
the day before.
Yeah. And this new moon is on
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Well, before the moon gets there, before it even gets to Aquarius, it's going to square Chiron, the wounded healer. The moon in Capricorn, squaring Chiron, the wounded healer, in Aries, right? And the moon is in detriment in Capricorn. The moon doesn't like Capricorn. It's the opposite sign of its rulership. So, if I add that into the mix, emotions in a detrimental situation, Capricorn, Saturn rule, authority, Capricorn, old, Chiron, in Aries, Aries is forceful and things that people have forced on us with connection to old patterns of thinking, that has emotionally put us in a detrimental place. And then I said Mercury is going to hit Pluto, but as soon as the moon gets into Aquarius, the moon actually hits Pluto the same day as the, let me make sure. Oh, my bad. I wanted to add. Wait, let me rewind. You know how I was talking about Mercury hitting Pluto?
Yep.
The moon is going to be with them. So the moon, Mercury, and Pluto all going to be together at the beginning of Aquarius. And then the moon going to move on and have a new moon. Meet the sun, and that's when they're gonna have a new moon on. So on Tuesday, Mercury and the moon are gonna meet Pluto. Still in this energy. Emotions connected to information, Mercury, handed down from authority people. Hey, Cancer, family, authority figures and family, that has, and push it on us, Aries. Mars is the ruler of Aries, is Mars, and Mars is retrograde in Cancer. And this Saban symbol spoke about reevaluation. Reevaluation of what? Where's the ruler? Mars is in Cancer. Family shit. Back to the family. Any thoughts?
Thinking about what you were saying about that Capricorn being ruled with Saturn there. And that's represented in the tarot deck by that devil card, which is actually, that devil card is like a release of fear or freedom. And then I think about that Aries.
Well, wait. Is Saturn different in the devil and the star? No, the moon. Aquarius is the moon, right? Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Aquarius is the star.
The star. So,
or Pisces is the moon.
Yeah. And Aquarius is the star. So, is Saturn different in the devil? And then, would it be, does he resonate differently in the devil and the star? If so, how?
Yeah, because that's Saturn for you.
That would be the world card. That would be the world card. With the devil or the world card with the star? Is that two different energies?
Yeah, they're definitely different. If you got, if you get through that Capricorn, I'm thinking about the Capricorn with the devil and the Aquarius with the star, and with that Saturn in there being the world card.
And all of this meeting is happening in the bounds of Mercury. Back to the mind and thoughts and communication. Hey, it's all about communication. Could I say communication in relationships with, or, and air is also information gathering.
Yeah. Did you say Capricorn was going to be square Aries?
Yeah. Capricorn is square Aries. That's tension, right? So the moon being in Capricorn is in tension with Chiron and Aries. And square is of Mars energy. It's equivalent to Mars energy.
And then Aries being ruled by Mars is the Emperor card in the deck.
And then and I talked about an authority figure, and an emperor would be someone. Do this. Do that. I've ordered you. I set the decree.
That sounded like a proclamation. I heard somebody speaking about that last night with you. A proclamation. Oh, my bad. That was a disclaimer. Sorry about that. Something different. Yes, so that that emperor, exactly, being that authority or control. Think about that Capricorn being square with that Aries, and that, see, with me, that Capricorn with that devil card is release. It's like freedom.
Wait. There's something. Yeah. There's something you taught me about that damn devil card. When you just said release, didn't you say they really ain't chained too bad? They can just lift the thing up off them.
Yes.
So how would you incorporate that?
That's a conscious choice or decision to remain confined or find your own freedom, which is a choice from within.
So are you saying that this new moon in Aquarius is about finding freedom or staying in bondage? And if you do stay there, that's a choice that you're making?
Yes. And think about that devil card with releasing yourself from that freedom. Releasing would require action. And now action is affiliated with Mars, representing that Aries and that Emperor card. And you had pointed out about Capricorn being square to Aries.
We starting off the week with the moon in Capricorn. And we're going to have a new moon in Aquarius. But we're going to end the week with the moon in Pisces. Now, we were talking about, you know, just to recap, we were talking about being an individuation, uniquely yourself, planting seeds, mentally detaching away from information and mentally detaching away from programming and all of that stuff, right? Coming through Aquarius. And so someone with their moon in Pisces, do you have any suggestions on how someone may begin that process of detaching and reprogramming, letting go?
I want to start off with this right here. First, they need to slow down and think before they speak and get what they want out correctly and word your words the proper way. Because if you don't, it's going to be confusing to people that don't understand what's going on.
Question. If we're going to go through someone learning how to uniquely be themselves, and we're going to slide into Pisces energy, do you think that person needs to look in the mirror?
Self-reflecting as it is. There's no things about self-reflecting anyways. So yes, you would have to look in the mirror, you have to look at yourself and see what's going on with you first before you try to help somebody else.
Any thoughts on what he said, Tara?
I go back to thinking about self-awareness. Really knowing who you are. Which a lot of people don't. It's pretty difficult to do that unbiased or objectively because it's about yourself. So it's subjectively and very biased because it's personalized. So you actually have to revert outside of yourself to analyze yourself. And that's easier said than done because you have to detach from emotion when you're reflecting and analyzing events that occurred because they may have been traumatic. So you can't allow yourself to become emotional or erratic in that analysis of what occurred as you're going through things in your life.
There's one more aspect of this new moon I didn't speak about. Mars and Jupiter, Mars and Jupiter had recently was trining. Trine is a Jupiter in Jupiter growth and expansion. It's a positive energy. Mars and Venus were recently trine, and that is of Jupiter energy of growth and expansion. Venus is in Pisces. Mars is retrograde in Cancer, and even though the conjunction on the new moon will have passed, the energy of that trine will still be in the air because of they call separation, right? And the other thing that I find interesting is on that the new moon, Venus will be sextiling Uranus. Venus is in Pisces, and it's going to be sextiling the planet of unexpected shock, awe. Venus exalted in Pisces, and Uranus is in the rulership of Venus, which is in Taurus. So, I wonder how this Venus sextile Uranus will play into this new moon. Oh, by the way, there's another aspect that I find interesting. This new moon is going to be at 9 degrees. Jupiter is going to be at 11 degrees retrograde, which is 2 degree engagement. So this Jupiter in retrograde in Gemini will have something to say about this to this new moon. It's trying. So, right. And Jupiter is in detriment in Gemini. Gemini is about communication things. Detrimental words back to the Five of Swords. Detrimental retrograde from the past. Mars retrograde from the past. Moon square Chiron. Things that hurtful things, healing of things, planting seeds for healing and moving past. Oh, back to full circle. Actions matching words. Any thoughts, Sarah? Any final thoughts about this new moon in Aquarius on Wednesday? So if you was advising someone to or helping them with a seed that they should be planting on Wednesday, what would you say? By the way, hopefully this seed will start flowering by the full moon in Aquarius, which will be sometime in July, August. I could give, as you think about that, I'll give y'all the exact. So we're looking at by August 9th. So this seed that you're planting, hopefully will start flowering and blossoming by August 9th.
It happens to be Leo season. Some people say that's the best time of the year for things to blossom and flourish.
Depending on who you ask. But it is the middle of the summer where things are growing and blossoming under the warmth of the sun.
Yeah, a lot of greatness and excellence occurring in that time frame. So that's
Someone once told me there's a bunch of Leos that are CEOs of companies.
Yeah, I've heard that same thing on my end from people as well. Hmm. I think if I was speaking to someone...
Wait a minute. Are your people talking to my people?
By appointment only. That's all I'm going to say. By appointment only.
All right. So, seed intention?
I think if I was speaking with someone about this week coming up here with planting seeds, I think I would reference a saying of sometimes, not all the time, sometimes, physical scars can heal, but emotional scars can last a lifetime. And I think I would say to the person or people, are you going to continue to bleed or do you want to continue to heal? And that's going to take action. I think about that Mars that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that Jupiter, which I believe you said will be retrograde, but it will be 2 degrees engagement.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think about that growth or expansion with that Jupiter, and with that Mars with taking action, and the Mercury with thinking about things, and then emotionally with the Moon with Cancer that you referenced. I'm listening to all the placements that you said.
Yeah.
And about the Capricorn as well. You were talking about being square. I think about the freedom affiliated with the Capricorn, the Aries taking action, and the Cancer with emotion, and that Jupiter with expansion. And I think about internally that individuation. I go back to introspective.
As you said, Jupiter and expansion, could I add, what is blocking expansion and growth? Because Jupiter's in detriment, there's something that could be prohibiting expansion and growth, which this seed needs to be planted to.
And I, with that being said, mm-hmm. I go back to what you referenced with Mercury. A lot of times, the being prohibited or an impediment is your own thoughts, your own mind. Can be your worst enemy and your biggest blockage with following through with something into fruition.
Mm.
And it's overcoming that fear. I go back to Capricorn, which is sort of a release of fear, you know, with some of that freedom, which is affiliated with Aquarius, which is what we're talking about. We mentioned that earlier with being innovative and intelligent, but also independence was another word that I had said. So through analyzing with that Mercury, it's that mind, which is mental, which is thinking and communication as well. And through that healing, you can overcome obstacles that might be prohibiting you from that growing, which I think about that Jupiter. Tying all this together, all these placements that you're saying.
Yeah.
Put it all together. And if you do that work, now go to Mars, you know, with that Aries, thinking about the action, and spend time doing that, then possibly you could reap rewards 6-7 months out, around August 9th, would be a date of fruition or completion from some work that you're doing now, which would be difficult or painful, could invoke emotion. I go back to that Cancer with the Moon.
Hey, going back and reevaluating things from the past can bring up hurt wounds from the past that you might have to rip the Band-Aid off of that to get to the other side.
Some people want to heal. Some people are just okay bleeding.
Mm. Mr. Taz, any as far as like setting intentions, any advice for this Wednesday new moon from someone with a Pisces moon, and it's going to end up, we're going to end up there. Any advice?
Basically, slow down. That's what I'm getting out of the whole ordeal. Just slow down before you speak, because people fail to realize words can hurt people. And when I was looking at that Five of Swords a little bit ago, I picked up on something else that y'all didn't pick up on, or maybe you did and you didn't speak of it.
What was that?
But I noticed the guy was smiling that was holding the three swords. He has a smile on his face. And if you look at the two people behind him, they're holding their heads down. What argument did those three friends or family members, what did they argue about? And why is that one smirking as the other two are walking away? What kind of damage did the words...
Wait.
...or an argument...
Why do you think, since you brought it up, why would two people have their hands in their hand and then the other one sitting over there with a smirk on their face?
That person that had the smile on his face could have been devious and did something that he thought he got over on somebody, and in reality he didn't. All he did was hurt. He done more hurt than anything.
I heard that. Now, it's one thing I always hear people talk about, Rafiki. I don't feel like I've been heard. I don't feel like I've been heard. So, could that also be that smirk be someone finally saying things that they've been holding back?
Very well possible. Very well possible. It could go, you know, when it's in reverse, that person could have, you know, with the smirk on his face, could have been that individual. Finally stood up for themselves. Because Saturn is the blocker anyways.
Correct.
So I've heard y'all talk about Saturn's energies. So could that blockage be, when it's upright, he couldn't really speak his mind, and then when it's reversed, he's taking his power back and voicing and putting it out there.
Wait a minute, Rafiki. You just introduced something that I think may catch people off guard. Did you just say that the reverse of a card could actually be the more positive part?
It all depends on what's surrounding that card.
Yeah, I got you. But the way you just painted it.
Yes, the reverse side can also not be the negative side. The upright can be the negative side, and the reverse side be the positive side. It depends on who is actually delivering the message.
What do you think about what he just said there, Tara? Could the reverse at times be actually the positive?
Yes, without a doubt. There's numerous cards where the reverse is the positive aspect or component of the card. Wanted to point something out on that Five of Swords.
Go ahead.
It's a little deep, but it ties into everything you're speaking about.
Well, ask people, some women like it deep. But I digress. Keep going.
I wouldn't mind digressing back onto that topic, but I guess we'll digress off of it.
Hey, this is a spiritual show.
It is your strength. There are some topics I like to digress back into the other night too. But so going back to the Five of Swords, you know, in all sincerity, thinking about everything that you're talking about and incorporating with everything. Real quick, and the Saturn was just brought up about being the blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn's actually about lessons, also life lessons, with you overcoming things and learning. So going to that Five of Swords, as was pointed out, the grin on the face of the person person holding those two swords upright. Isn't it interesting that the two people in the distance that are dejected or defeated, the two swords on the ground at his feet are the two swords that each of them were holding. And the two swords that he's holding upright in his left hand are the two swords he used to defeat them and knock their swords to the ground. And then in his right hand, that sword is planted in the ground, meaning he's grounding himself from the two of them that he defeated intellectually, because the swords is about communication and thinking and intelligence. He disarmed them through his words and overcame his trauma, which resulted in freedom and him grounding himself and finding individuation or freedom from the two of them. He had the Capricorn moment, which is the release or that freedom from that Mars, which is the control or authority of those two people. I find it interesting how all that ties together with that card.
Since you brought up the Capricorn and the two people, could the two people in the back, could that be the people that was chained down there with the devil? And if you break away, you'll have this smile on your face?
That could be symbolic of that. This is the end result if you conquer or release yourself from the chains that bind you.
Mm.
Those two people, and then being looked at head down, look at the disposition, the negative disposition, because they are defeated and they're departing away. And there he stands triumphant and victorious because he is experiencing that freedom.
You know what Pisces energy is about? Escapism. And so how does someone escape bondage?
How would someone escape bondage? I would have to say, you know, Portel was talking about, do they want to bleed or do they want to heal? A lot of people are stuck in the, they just want to constantly bleed. But they fail to realize that they're bleeding, but they're bleeding onto other people.
Is Pisces a healing energy?
If one could push the Pisces energy aside for the escapism, they could learn how to do that, learn how to detach. Then it could be a healing. But if they're still wanting to, if they're not wanting to heal, then no. It could cause them to go into a deeper depression.
But you don't think you don't think everybody want to heal?
No, you can literally see it every day if you pay attention.
Hmm.
Listen to people's words. Listen to how they talk. If they're talking always down, that's the energy that's going to be around them all the time. Until they learn how to speak positive into their life, speak positivity energy into them, that's the only way that they're going to start healing. Until then, they're going to be trapped until they get the want to and the willing to do the change, willing to do the work.
Should we be choosy with who we choose to help with healing?
Healing is a personal, individual aspect. Yes, someone can help you along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But the healing comes from within you anyways.
Mm. I like that. And with that being said, we're talking about individuation. We talked about being captive. We talked about bondage and all of that. And Aquarius is freedom. And so how do I want to end this? You know, there's a question I always ask people. And the question is, do you think you could have been Harriet Tubman? Why do I ask that question? Because they say they once asked Harriet Tubman, how many slaves did you rescue? And her response was, I don't know the number. It could have been a lot more if they only knew they were slaves. And if you step back and think about that comment, what does she mean by that? Hey, Harriet had to leave more people stuck in bondage and slavery than she actually helped and pulled out. Why? Because even though I'm down here to help pull you to freedom, I'm not going to risk my freedom trying to explain to you the definition of freedom. If you don't know what freedom is it my job to get you to understand what freedom is before you'll be ready to take action and move and heal yourself? And so, what's more important to you? The people you love or your personal freedom? Do you love your loved ones so much that you will remain in bondage? Or do you love yourself so much that you will free yourself and leave your loved ones stuck in bondage? Nah, ain't nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm about to go to freedom. Do you want to come? But if they don't come, what is your responsibility to their happiness and freedom? Or is it just your responsibility to yourself for your happiness and freedom? And if they want to come along for the ride, hey, we can make a party of this. There's no right or wrong, I guess. It's a personal choice. And I guess that personal choice has something to do with this new moon in Aquarius. Only you can plant, put the seed in the ground that you plant. I can't control what you plant. And I don't know what you want to grow. You could plant a bunch of negative stuff, which would be equivalent to weeds. Or you could plant roses and flowers and sunflowers and daisies and whatever. Choice is yours. And y'all know I end this. Know thyself, balance your energy.